that we've seen so many people in our own experience that claim to believe we need to rightly divide the word of truth, and then over time they depart from that understanding and go another way. I yesterday listened to a couple messages when I was cutting my grass, and I have so much grass to cut, I could listen to a couple messages. And it illustrates what I'm saying here about how it needs to be personal. These were both men were older preachers, been around a long time, and that had started out in the ministry teaching what we teach, and that now teach against it. They left it and they teach against it. And this, you see cases of this, and I try to discern. I listened to their arguments of how they tried to refute it. It was just very sad because it was so weak. And I knew they knew better. They were purposely misrepresenting the position. They throw up a straw man and then throw it down as though they refuted the doctrine. But, and I don't know their hearts and why, what all went into their decision to depart from it, but I think really, in fact, one of them clearly said this, that when he started out, when he first got saved and hadn't even studied the Bible, somebody showed him some things about rightly dividing, and he just went with it and kind of took what he was taught and ran with it and became even a pastor teaching that. But it was never something he personally studied for himself. And so over time, he got knocked off track on it. And of course, as long as we got this flesh, it's possible to get knocked off track. But I guarantee you, if you don't study it for yourself and believe it with all your heart for yourself, you will get knocked off track. And so, I mean, and again, these are men that, I mean, in the one case, the guy started seeing it in 1972 and preached it until 1990. And he's still preaching today, and he's been preaching against it since 1990. So, I mean, that's really something. But again, and I've heard other cases in the past where people talked about, yeah, I used to believe that, but that's because I was told. I was told this and I was told that. Well, you should never base what you believe on what you were told. You should study it for yourself. Because when you do the personal Bible study and believe it with all your heart, it becomes a part of, you know, your belief system. It's real to you. If you're just taking what somebody else is telling you, you're not really rooted and grounded. Now, there's a lot of people sitting in churches that rightly divide that are not rooted and grounded. They say, yeah, it makes sense. Can't argue with that. Yeah. But they're not really rooted and grounded. I knew of one preacher in, I think it was Tennessee, that taught this doctrine and then got up and totally went the other direction, and the church just went right along with the new direction, 180 from what he was teaching. How does that happen? They must not have been really, they must just believe whatever he tells them. And I always say, don't do that here. Don't just believe what I'm saying. I'm trying to teach the truth, but I could be mistaken. Check it for yourself. Believe it personally. It's so important. Well, in our last few lessons, we've discussed the basics of right division, and we talked about the main division in the Bible, and last time, the twofold purpose of God concerning heaven and earth. This morning, we're going to consider two distinct ministries of Christ. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ is foundational and central to everything God is doing. But there is a difference between His earthly ministry to Israel and His heavenly ministry to the body of Christ. There are things that are similar. There are things that are the same even, some principles. But there are dispensational differences here. It's so vital we see it. Look here in Romans 15, verse 8. We quote this verse quite a bit, and for good reason, it summarizes what the earthly ministry of Christ was. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister. Notice that, a minister. He had a ministry. It was of the circumcision. Of course, that'd be the Jews. For the truth of God, what was he doing? To confirm the promises made unto the fathers, the Hebrew fathers, promises made to them. He came confirming that. He did not come announcing a new plan and purpose. Everything he did was based on what was already promised, what was already prophesy. And he said, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So he had a ministry to Israel concerning what had been promised to the fathers. And everything in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is based on the Old Testament. Every bit of it. Now, he did give some new information about the kingdom of heaven. He called it mysteries. And it was new information, but it was about what was already promised and prophesied, the kingdom of heaven. So, look down in verse number 15. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind because of the grace that is given to me of God. And Paul emphasizes this so much, how God had given him grace to have a ministry to make certain things known, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ. So, in verse 8, Jesus Christ was, in His earthly ministry, a minister of the circumcision. Verse 16, that I, Paul, should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. So Christ had a ministry of the circumcision. Paul was the minister of Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. I have, therefore, whereof I may glory, through Jesus Christ. Notice this. His ministry is through Jesus Christ, in those things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me. The point is, Christ, it's His ministry through Paul. Paul didn't do anything on his own in the ministry. It was Christ through him. Christ from heaven, giving him this information, giving him this ministry, and he gives God all the glory. Paul said concerning himself, he's the least of all the saints. But he wants us to know that the Lord gave him this ministry for us. He said, to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Of course, in his Acts ministry, he had signs and wonders because he's an apostle, and the Acts period was a transition. But he launches out officially on his Gentile ministry in Acts 13. He's the apostle to the Gentiles. During the book of Acts, he goes to the Jew first because Israel's not set aside in judicial blindness as a nation until the end of the transition in Acts 28. But they fell in Acts 7. When Paul had an Acts ministry, it was not to offer the kingdom to Israel. Not at all. He did not preach the gospel of the kingdom to Israel. But there was a transition period, so there was some distinct thing. Now, some people make the big blunder because of the uniqueness of Paul's Acts ministry to say that this present age and dispensation didn't start till Acts 28. And that is extreme and false, and I dealt with that here recently on YouTube in a couple of videos. And so stay away from that, because that is extreme. That's actually hyperdispensationalism. That's a term that people use a lot wrongly. They don't even know, they misapply it, but there is a place for that term, and that is the Acts 28 position. Because, you know, Paul wrote about the body of Christ during his Acts ministry and epistles he wrote during that time. The body of Christ started before Acts 28. That's easy to prove that. There's some actually who teach, because it's like a cop-out and an easy way out to say, well, there's some things about the transition period that are difficult, so let's just say it was a whole other dispensation. Well, the Acts period, you have one dispensation fading out while a new one's fading in. But that, so that presents some unique things and some complex things. But at any rate, I'm getting off point here. So you see clearly here, and I didn't, my purpose in reading these verses is not to really expound in here, but just to point out verse 8, Christ was a minister of the circumcision. Verse 16, Paul was the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. And so that simple comparison there between those two verses, comparison and contrast, helps us immensely in our Bible study if we really believe what these verses clearly say. It's so imperative to understand that the earthly ministry of Christ was one of confirmation to confirm what was already promised to the Jewish fathers. It was not an inauguration. In other words, he was not revealing a secret purpose concerning the body of Christ. He didn't do that in his earthly ministry. He did it from heaven through Paul. Israel is God's earthly people, and he promised them a land and to be a great nation, to have a worldwide kingdom over the other nations. And Christ plainly said he was not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Matthew 15:24. He sent out his apostles. He said, go not in the way of the Gentiles. Go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And I say this every time I mention that. Obviously, it's not that he didn't care about the world. He's the Savior of the world. And he so loved the world. All of that. It's just that according to his prophetic plan, the Gentiles were to be blessed through Israel's rise and glory. And so there was an order to the things. But in this present age, as revealed through Paul's ministry, the Gentiles are not being blessed through the rise of Israel. That's in prophecy. But rather through their fall. That was a mystery. Romans 11. Through their fall, through their diminishing. One of the preachers I mentioned earlier said, I can show you Gentile salvation in the Old Testament. Well, yeah, we know that. That's okay. But that saying that Gentiles would be saved is not the mystery. But that they would be saved without Israel and made members of one spiritual body, that was. And I don't know why people will break their neck trying to prove the mystery was revealed before God said it was revealed. Why do that? Paul said it was hidden God until made known through him. But it's like these people want to just prove, no, it was before. Why can't we just acknowledge that Paul was the chosen preacher to reveal this? Why? What's the problem with that? It's like people, they think that's such a bad doctrine for some reason. It's like they do whatever they can to try to show us the body of Christ before his ministry, but it's not there. God said it wasn't there. And if you think it's there, it's going to mess you up doctrinally because you're going to start misinterpreting and misapplying some things. But anyway, believing Jews and Gentiles baptized by one Spirit into one body with no earthly distinction, where it's neither Jew nor Gentile anymore, but one spiritual new man. That's only found in Paul's epistles. Now look in Colossians 1. I'm talking about this ministry of Christ from heaven. Paul's ministry was actually the ministry of Christ from heaven concerning things kept secret since the world began. The earthly ministry of Christ was based on things that were spoken since the world began. Luke chapter 1. Okay, concerning the ministry of John the Baptist and the Lord Jesus Christ, when John the Baptist's father was prophesying there, he mentioned how it was spoken since the world began through the prophets. But this ministry, according to Romans 16:25, this has to do with things kept secret. And just don't miss the fact that it's not about Paul as a man, it's about Christ using this man. And so when you discredit Paul's ministry and try to say, well, there was nothing distinct about it, then you're going contrary to clear scripture on the matter. Why Paul anyway? The Lord already had 12 apostles that he had already sent preaching the gospel of the kingdom. The reason why he chose Paul is because he gave him a new and distinct ministry. I mean, it's so clear, the verses, and this is not like, a verse here or two that we're isolating and trying to make it say this. He says it again and again. But there's a religious blindness over people when it comes to this. It's like it's an eerie thing. I've seen people, and they can't explain me. I've asked preachers that oppose this. I said, what's the problem? You explain to me why this is a dangerous teaching. What's the problem? Well, that's about what I get. But they don't have it's just that something in them that, and I tell you what it is, this is what God is doing. And there's something about being in harmony with what God is doing that your flesh and the devil is going to oppose. All right. Colossians 1, verse 21. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and reprovable in his sight, if you continue in the faith. Now that if has to do with our state, not our standing, but rather at the judgment seat of Christ, we're not going to be unreprovable if we got moved away from this truth. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, made a minister. Notice that. He's made a minister. But it's Christ's ministry through him. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Now, Christ accomplished our salvation through his suffering. Nothing could be added to that. But Paul suffered to make it known. And it was not suffering for his own sake. He was suffering for this message. Paul filled up that suffering. In other words, the other apostles, Peter, James, and John, they suffered too, but it wasn't for this message. Paul suffered for this message. He said, verse 24, who now rejoice, verse 25, whereof I am made a minister. So, he's made a minister to every creature with the gospel. He's made a minister of the church with the mystery, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Even the mystery, which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. It's now made manifest through his ministry, to whom God would make known was the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ being in us Gentiles with the hope that we're going to be caught up to meet him in the air and glorified in his image and reign with him in heavenly places. You won't find that in prophecy. It was a mystery. He said, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, and 1 Corinthians 2 calls this the hidden wisdom, the wisdom of God in the mystery, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor. Now look at this. Striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. So the Lord gets all the glory for this. And you have to understand this is what the Lord is doing. Now, Jesus said in John 13, verse 20, that if you receive whom he sends, you receive him. Now, did he send Paul? He did send him, and he sent him separate from the 12. He called the 12 on earth. He called Paul from heaven. It was a different thing, and he sent him. What I'm trying to say is, if you're going to follow Christ in this age, you have to follow his appointed pattern and spokesman for this age. Paul's made a pattern, 1 Timothy 1:16. Paul is a spokesman. He's speaking the Word of God. He's not speaking of his own will. People always try to pit the teachings of Paul versus the teachings of Christ. That's ridiculous. Because the teachings of Paul was the teachings of Christ. But there's a difference between Christ teaching on earth concerning the kingdom and teaching from heaven concerning the body of Christ. Now, Paul said, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. 1 Corinthians 11:1. Of course, there are many verses where he says, follow me, follow my example. There's a number of those references we can look at. But you need to understand that God used him to write 13 epistles by inspiration of God to the body of Christ in this age. And these epistles are wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Paul said in 1 Timothy 6:3. He said something, and then he followed up saying, that's wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Talking about what he said. He was talking about his words by inspiration. He wasn't talking about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Those are wholesome words also. But what my point is that Romans through Philemon is ever much the Word of God as Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And Jesus, people talk about the last thing he said, and they go to the end of the gospel records. That's not the last thing he said. He spoke again from heaven. And he gave us 13 books of the New Testament through the Apostle Paul. He wrote the commandments of the Lord, 1 Corinthians 14:37. Paul said, the things I write are the commandments of the Lord. He said that Christ was speaking in him. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 3. So whenever we follow Paul, we are following Christ. And you can't follow Christ today and disregard the distinctive ministry and message of the Apostle Paul. So, this is a big deal. And look, when Moses was the spokesman under the law, to depart from his authority was apostasy. Because Moses represented God and spoke the Word of God. You couldn't rebel against Moses and be right with God. Okay? Go check it out. You'll see very clearly whenever Israel departed from the things Moses said, they got in trouble with God. Why? Because Moses spoke the Word of God. And it's the same today. Paul spoke the Word of God. And apostasy in this age is not just denying the Bible in general, but it's denying Paul's message and ministry in particular. Now, obviously, if you deny the whole Word of God, you're an apostate. But I'm saying there are people who say they believe the Bible, but yet they deny this ministry of Christ from heaven. And that's apostasy in this present age. That's why Paul said, when he talked about apostasy in 2 Timothy, they all be turned away from me. He's not talking about his person. He's talking about his doctrine and his ministry from the Lord. Now, let's run down a few contrasts here between the earthly ministry and the heavenly ministry of Christ. And I'll give you references. I probably won't write the references on the board. I'll just write some key words. But first of all, obviously, when it comes to the earthly ministry of Christ, it was all based on prophecy. But when it comes to His heavenly ministry, that was a mystery. In other words, a secret that was hidden God till it was revealed through Paul. Now, how many times you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? That it might be fulfilled. That it might be fulfilled. That it might be fulfilled. Everything was being fulfilled according to Scripture. In Luke 24, verse 27 and verse 4, and we won't turn to all these references for time's sake, because we've only got about 10 minutes here. But in Luke 24, verse 27, verse 44, Jesus opens the understanding of some of His disciples to His sufferings and how things were going to work out. But the bottom line of it, He said, it was all written in the law and the prophets and the Psalms. And that's the threefold division of the Hebrew Scriptures. That's how they divided it up. He said, it's all concerning me. Everything's concerning me. And so everything that happened in His earthly ministry was based on prophecy. And yet, in this age, Christ has a ministry from heaven that was a mystery. It was a secret. We've already talked about this, but in His earthly ministry, it was confirmation. In His heavenly ministry, it's inauguration. To inaugurate something is to bring in something new, okay? And so He was confirming what was already promised in His earthly ministry, but He's inaugurating a whole new thing in His heavenly ministry. The primary Scriptures, obviously, on this are the four Gospels. But the exclusive Scriptures for this ministry is Paul's epistles. Now, all you got to do is do your homework. You won't find anything about the body of Christ and some of the mysteries associated with that doctrine. You won't find it outside of Paul's epistles. That's not my opinion. That's a fact. He's the only one who writes about it by inspiration of God. Now, under this ministry, Christ is the King of Israel. John 1:49, the King of Israel. Here, He's the head of one body. Now, He's the King eternal. I understand that. But He's never called the King of the church. He's called the head of the church. He's the head, because the church is a body. It's not a nation. Okay? Peter talks about being a holy nation. And everybody wants to apply that to the church. The church, the body of Christ, is not a nation. It's a body. There's a difference between a nation and a body. Peter's talking about the little flock that's going to get the kingdom, the true Israel of God, when he talks about that holy nation. But at any rate, there's a distinction there. In His earthly ministry, what dispensation did Christ operate under in His earthly ministry? It was the law. I mean, we can prove that very easily. He said, think not that I'm come to destroy the law. I didn't come to destroy, but to fulfill. And all through his ministry, you see him teaching the law of Moses. And it's very easy to prove it. The Bible, Paul said he was that Christ was made of a woman made under the law. But what is this? It's the dispensation of the grace of God. Ephesians 3. That's what he plainly said. If you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God. And so, the law, we're not under the law, Paul said, but under grace. Okay? What a difference. Is there not a difference? We're going to talk about this actually in the next service. What a difference between law and grace. What message was being preached? It's the gospel. What did Christ preach? What does it say in Matthew 4:23? He went about preaching the gospel of what? The kingdom. Is that what Paul preached? No, because he was damned according to that gospel. He couldn't even be saved according to that gospel because he blasphemed the Holy Ghost. Jesus said that will not be forgiven under that economy of things. But he preached what was revealed to him, the gospel of the grace of God. The gospel of the grace of God. You know, Jesus went about in his earthly ministry preaching the gospel. He sent out his 12 preaching the gospel. He didn't even start talking to the 12 about his death, burial, and resurrection until the end of his ministry, and they didn't believe it. That's just so easy to see. It has to be a different message because the gospel of the grace of God is the good news that by the grace of God, Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again. It is the death, burial, and resurrection, according to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3 and 4. And how about in his earthly ministry, there was a difference between Jew and Gentile. Right? There's a difference, Jew and Gentile. You could see that very clearly in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, especially in Matthew 15, verse 21 to 28, where the Gentile woman is asking for his help. They ignore her. And then finally Jesus said, look, I'm not sent but the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And she continues to cry out. He said, it's not right to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. It's because she submitted to that and believed that truth. He made an exception there, but the exception proves the rule. And so there's obviously a difference between Jew and Gentile in his earthly ministry. How about now? There's no difference between Jew and Gentile. Paul says that. No difference. The gospel goes out to all men alike, without distinction. And it's no longer to the Jew first either, by the way. That ended with the Acts period. It goes out to all men. And everybody who believes, no matter who they are, whether Jew or Gentile, doesn't matter, you're baptized in one body. And in that body is neither Jew nor Gentile. Christ, in his earthly ministry, he sent 12 to preach to the 12 tribes of Israel. That's why there were 12 apostles. And he said they're going to sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So he sent 12 to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But he sent Paul to the Gentiles. Now, he said, I am the apostle of the Gentiles. I magnify mine office. Romans 11:13. There were other apostles like Barnabas and Timothy and so on. But they were secondary in the sense that Paul was the primary apostle to the Gentiles. You had 12 to 12 tribes. But when it comes to this present age, there was one apostle that the Word of God was given through. Okay, so yeah, he had some help, obviously, but there's a difference between the magnitude of Paul's ministry. In other words, Barnabas and those that came along helping him were only helping him in what was revealed to him. How about this? In his earthly minute, I'm going to run out of room, I think. In his earthly, and I know some of y'all can't see the board. I apologize. But when we're done, I'll move this out of the way and you can see if you want to take these notes. But in his earthly ministry, signs abounded. I mean, how many signs did Jesus work in his earthly ministry? John said in John 20 that many other works that Jesus, in the midst of his disciples, he said, that are not written, but these are written, that you might believe that Jesus is Christ, Son of God. Well, and then he said, if everything was written, the world couldn't contain the books. Of course, he just did so many signs and wonders. Signs abounded here. I'm trying to write the best I can. I hope it's legible. Signs ceased. Okay? Paul did some signs of an apostle in his Acts ministry, but he announced during that time there was coming a point they would cease. 1 Corinthians 13. And they did. They did. That's easy to prove because Paul was healing all kind of people in the Acts period, but afterward he couldn't even heal Trophimus, one of his helpers in the ministry. He said, Trophimus, if I left at Miletum 6, 2 Timothy 4:20. Here you have a kingdom commission. In Mark 16, you read that thing, and people want to latch on to one statement there, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Yeah, I believe we ought to do that, absolutely. But let's make sure we're preaching the gospel of the grace of God. What was he talking about there? Right before he said that, right before he died, he said, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for witness to all nations, then the end shall come. Then he rises from the dead and says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Well, the only gospel that had been revealed that they had been preaching was the gospel of the kingdom. And then you had water baptism being required and signs following. The signs would follow that. Now, that's different from being ambassadors for Christ in 2 Corinthians 5 with the word of reconciliation during this grace age. Our message as ambassadors does not require water baptism to be right with God. It's not required whatsoever. Paul said, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Therefore, he did not preach it in his gospel. But you check the record and see if the 12 preached water baptism in their message. They certainly did. Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. In Acts 10, when he's at Cornelius' house, it says Peter commanded them to be baptized. You can't show me a verse where Paul even told anybody to be baptized. Now, obviously, he baptized a few people, but the point is that wasn't what he was sent to do. That's not what his message was. And he said the signs would cease. The signs aren't following the gospel of the grace of God. Well, second coming. I'm right at the end of the board here, so I'll stop with this. Second coming. The secret coming. Okay, his earthly ministry was all about, okay, and he talked a lot about it in his earthly ministry, that he would come again, and that, Matthew 24, of course, outlines it very clearly, the 70th week of Daniel and the second coming. They're not looking for a rapture up to heaven. The Jews are going to be gathered out of the nations assembled in their land, but they're not being caught up to heaven. That's our rapture. Now, some people take exception. They say, well, secret coming is not in the Bible. Well, you know what? Paul said, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. It was a secret. If the body of Christ was a secret, so was the rapture of it. And Christ coming back to the earth to save Israel and set up the kingdom is not the same thing as Christ catching the body of Christ up to heaven. Okay? So, we get caught up before the tribulation, Christ comes back after. So what I'm saying is, it's not the same thing. It happens at different times for different groups, different reasons and all that. So you go, look, that's like 11 things there, and that's not all. You see, his earthly ministry was according to prophecy. It was one of confirmation. It's in the four Gospels. He's the King of Israel. He's under the law. The gospel of the kingdom is preached. There's a difference between Jew and Gentile. He sends the 12 to Israel. There's signs abounding. There's a kingdom commission and the second coming of the earth. But under his heavenly ministry was a mystery. It was inaugurated through Paul's ministry. It's only found in Paul's epistles. Christ is the head of one body. We're under grace, not the law. We're preaching the gospel, the grace of God. There's no difference between Jew and Gentile. Paul was raised up to take this message to the Gentile world. The signs have ceased. We're ambassadors for Christ looking for the secret coming of the Lord. Come on, folks. I mean, is that not different? And if you understand those different ministries, it's the same Christ, same Lord. But if you understand the distinction between His earthly ministry and heavenly ministry, you'll be rightly dividing the word of truth. Father, thank You for the time we had this morning in Bible study.